Go ahead. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Everybody's good and saved. Wave your hand this morning. Amen. Well, this morning I was having a cup of coffee over here about 7:30, and I thought, well, I'm going to run over my sermon. I'm going to preach next Sunday morning. The baby's supposed to come next week, and I'm supposed to preach next Sunday morning. And I went over there and just quickly run over this, and Shirley and Dallas back here somewhere. I stopped about 8 o'clock and talked to them, and just coming in the door, Jody's on the phone. I want to be to preach this morning, headed to the hospital. So it's good for a man to have to depend on the Lord every now and then. I'm making no excuses. If the Lord helps me, I can preach. And if he don't, I can't preach. And it's every preacher that has to confess that. Let me say just one word. The Lord laid on my heart this morning that whatever the church gives me, 500 or 1,000, whatever it is, for preaching this morning. No, it won't be. No, my price doesn't. I ask nobody for anything wherever I go. Whatever comes in, I thank the Lord for it. But whatever they give me, I'm gonna give it to Brother Wyatt to help in the expenses. And I ask you to just give whatever. That's what the Lord. I didn't ask my wife. I'm afraid she'd hold me back on that. But I've already committed, honey. So you agree with that, don't you? Shake your head this way. Okay. But let's do help them out. It is. I appreciate this church, and it was my privilege to preach here at this church for all these years, to serve the Lord. Now, hey, my first privilege was to serve the Lord and then serve the church. So it's a privilege to be here again this morning, and appreciate Brother Jody. Do pray for him and Becky as they want to take up money to buy some diapers for Brother Jody. I don't think he needs any himself. I better get down to bed. The Lord is really blessing me. I don't want to get off from too much ridiculous stuff here. Turn in your Bibles in your King James Version. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew 13. Now I'm gonna hide my watch because I'm getting a late start here this morning. But I want to finish my sermon. And it won't be over 45 minutes an hour. No, I won't be quite that long. You know, I don't preach long sermons, but I've got a sermon I want to preach it this morning. I believe this is what the Lord wanted me to preach next Sunday. And because the baby come early, the stork arrived, I had to quick and do a little cramming here. But the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Matthew 13, verse 18. Hear you therefore, Matthew, page 1015 in your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Matthew 13, 18. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a little while. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh lotus unfruitful. But he that received good seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Folks, we need to be 160 and 30-fold Christians, don't we? And let's pray. Father, I thank you for this privilege one more time this side of eternity to preach your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me this privilege all these years. And Lord, help me this morning. I can preach if you help me. I can if you don't. And Lord, speak to our hearts. I want to see you glorified in this service. And Lord, be glorified. And somebody here not saved, some Christian that needs to make some new and holy vows, I pray. Bless your people. Bless for the White family. Thank you for them. And Lord, bless them especially. Touch them and help them through the days that lie ahead, that great resurrection morning when we'll see our loved ones again. Bless thy word, our hearts. Accomplish your will in this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, now I'm going to have to stick a little close naturally. I hadn't had time to have preparation on this sermon. I've just gone over it a couple of times. I'm going to stick a little closer than I usually do, but I don't make any apologies. I'm just glad to preach again. But our Lord Jesus was the greatest storyteller that the world's ever seen. Now, some people think a preacher or teacher should never give an illustration or a story. But Jesus didn't believe that, did he? Amen. And during his short earthly ministry, he told many stories, such as the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and Lazarus went over to be in Abraham's bosom. And then the shepherd had 99 sheep. One was lost, and what he did, he left those 99 and went out. I'm glad that he goes out after the lost ones, aren't you? And what great stories. Now, here in the 13th chapter of Matthew, he gives a parable of the sower. And the story is told in verses 1 and 8, and we'll see that in just a few minutes. Then there are five things I want you to see about the parable of the sower. And then we'll look at the explanation in verses 18 to 20. First of all, the setting. Look at verses 1 and 2. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, what a beautiful setting it was where Jesus gave this parable of the sower, and he gave six other parables too. I'm not going to preach on all six parables, so don't worry about it this morning. It's this one. But in these two verses, we see that Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the seaside. And when he did, great multitudes pressed against him. And he got into a ship and went out into the sea a little bit. And so the multitude could see him and hear him better. And visualize in the great natural amphitheater, this great crowd listening to the greatest preacher the world has ever seen. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you like to have been there? Then in verse 3, we see the symbol. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, here's the symbol, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, this is not to be taken literally. It was a symbol or a picture. And Jesus told this story, as Jesus told this story, his hearers could probably look around them and see maybe a man out with a bag on his shoulder, seed bag slung over his shoulder, reaching in and casting seeds all around as he walked through the field. And Jesus used this symbol or illustration. Everyone knew how to relate to it. Jesus made it so simple that everyone knew exactly what he was talking about. And he wasn't shooting over their heads. He shooting to their heart. And he talked in terms everyone could understand. You've heard me say this a minute. My dad, I think he had a sixth grade education and my mother a seventh grade education. Every time I preach, I want to preach so if my mother and father were sitting here, they can understand every word I say. And if the sixth or seventh grade education get it, maybe the college graduates can get it too. They'll have to listen real close. But then the sower, third thing, the sower. Jesus didn't tell us in verse 3 who the sower was, but in verse 37 he said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So Jesus is a sower here in this parable. In Jeremiah 31:27, we find that God is a sower. God sows, the Son sows, and I'm glad that also the Holy Spirit of God sows the good word of God into the hearts of people. Aren't you glad of that? And no person, folks, no person can ever be saved until the blessed Holy Spirit convicts them of their need of Jesus Christ. Now, the old timers used to say, without conviction, there can be no conversion. No conviction, no real conversion. Then every born-again Christian should be a sower of the Word of God to the lost, to everyone they come in contact with. In Psalm 126:6, it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. You know, one time we had a man that started coming to this church, and he'd sit here and hear me preach somewhere back through there. He wouldn't move. And I went by to his house to talk to him. He didn't get saved. Some of the other people went by. Then one night, a missionary came here, and I thought, now he's a good man, a good preacher, knows the gospel. So I took the missionary by. He witnessed to this man, gave him a simple plan of salvation. He wouldn't get saved. And you know what? I went over and I knelt right down in front of this man in his home, not far from, about less than a mile from where I'm standing here. And I said, listen, I'd like to see you saved more than anything in this world. And right there, the Lord broke my heart. And I wept, just couldn't help but weep. And you know what? My words couldn't get him. The missionary couldn't get him. But when I wept, then we left there, and he got saved and became a bus captain. So the way to get bus captains and teachers is to start weeping over souls, and you can get you some bus captains and teachers in this church. That'll do the job. And it's a great privilege we have as believers to sow the seed. And folks, I've said it many times. I spent 46 years just sowing the gospel seed at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And then the Lord said, look out there. It's been worth it. Praise the Lord. Then a fourth thing. I better hurry. This is just an introduction. I'm just trying to get warmed up to you a little bit here. But the seed. Matthew does not tell us what the seed is, but Luke 8:11 says the seed is the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And by the way, right there, the King James Version, I believe, is the incorruptible seed. I believe all these new versions are corruptible versions. They're corruptible. Now, there's enough gospel in some of these new versions to get people saved, but to come from the wrong source. And I better get off. I'm not here preaching on the King James, but you know I believe that. One other thing. This is what I want to emphasize this morning. The soils. The fifth thing is the soils. In Matthew 13:4-8, the parable of the sower is stated. And then Jesus said in these verses now that the sower sowed his seeds, and these seeds fell on four types of soil. And that's what I want us to look at. This morning I started to say briefly, but I'm not looking at my watch. I'll be through as quick as you can, because I like to eat just about as good as anybody sitting here. But let's look at it. I believe this is God's message for us. So I hope you listen. I want to help you, and I won't try to hurt you. I want to help you spiritually. And these four types of seed, Jesus likens the heart of man to soil. And we see his emphasis on the heart of man and how we receive the Word of God. How we receive the good seed of the Word of God shows in what kind of heart we have. It'll show every time. Now let's consider these four types of soil here. And I want us to look at them just word by word and verse by verse in this parable of the sower. The first one, some fell by the wayside. Look at verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the seeds came and devoured them. The fowls came and devoured them up. Then look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And finally. Now, in the Bible lands, I've almost locked, I get away from my notes and got, had to get back on here. But in the Bible lands, there were no fences. And the roads passed through the fields. And when they would sow those seed, throwing it back both ways, some of it would fall on hard places, the roads where they traveled. And the uncultivated. And the birds then would come in on the hard places and pick up and catch, get that seed. And Jesus said in verse 19 that those who hear the word of God and it has no effect on them are just like the seed that fell by the wayside. Their hearts are not prepared to receive the good seed of the word of God. You know what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, listen to this now, the wicked one, that's the devil, comes to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church every time we open the doors. And the devil, this is a great crowd, appreciate you coming this morning, but the devil is here to see that you don't get anything out of the word of God. That's the devil's purpose. He'll get you thinking about, you ladies, about your food on the stove and hurrying up and getting ahead of those, the Methodists and the Presbyterians up the restaurant and all like that and things you got to do. But if you come here with no appetite for the word of God, the devil will snatch the good word of God out of your heart this morning. Verse 4, Jesus said, the fowls of the air came and gobbled up the seed. Verse 19, Jesus said, the birds represent the devil. He called him the wicked one. And when we come to God's house with our minds full of the things of the world or pleasure or ill will toward the pastor or fellow members, the devil will send seeds and snatch away the word of God from our hearts. And we'll not get anything out of the service. So why don't you just remove everything out of your heart and life today and try to get something out of the good word of God. And then two sinners have no appetite for God or spiritual things. And unless there's a work of God in their heart by the Spirit, then if there's a work of God, the Spirit gives them a hunger in their heart for the word of God. But the devil now will try to come in and snatch the good word of God away. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Unless the Holy Spirit moves on your soul and gives you, see folks, we've got to bring God in on this thing. And unless the Holy Spirit of God moves on your soul and gives you a hunger for the Word of God, you'll never get anything out of the services here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Or you can run to some other church and not get anything out of it there. Only as God's Spirit moves over your soul will you have a hunger to know God. I'm glad that I have a hunger in my heart to know God. I'm glad of that. Sometimes I get cold and indifferent, but then the Lord will bring me back. That hunger will come back for the Word of God. And it's truly a miracle when God's Word this morning as it's preached, and it's a miracle that as the Holy Spirit works, there's a hunger in our hearts for His precious Word, the good seed of the Word of God. And Jeremiah 15:16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Now I guess most people in East Tennessee fit this first group. Their hearts are not prepared to receive the word of God. And the devil comes in and snatches away the word of God. And then when the devil comes in and snatches away, you go down through life, groping in spiritual darkness the rest of your days on this earth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Then let's notice the second one. I'm trying to hurry, get these four in now. So you bear with me. In this parable of the sower, we see some fell upon stony places in verses 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. Then verses 20 and 21, but he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, then because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now here the seed is the same. The sower is the same, but there's a great difference. The seed that fell by the wayside produced absolutely no response. And here we see that here anon, or at once, immediately received the good seed of the word of God. He went great guns for a while. You've seen people like that. Boy, they'll make a big profession and go great guns for a while. Then sooner or later trouble comes and they fall by the wayside and become a spiritual dropout. Now, these that fall on stony grounds are stony ground Christians. And now, this is one of the most difficult of these four soil groups. It saddens my heart to think about this kind of soil. But you know, this is what this represents. This kind of soul represents the person who makes a profession without possession. You know, you can make a profession without possession. It is a public profession without heart experience. You look at the minutes of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you know what they used to take, how they, for over, well, 100 to 150 years, how they took people into this church? By experience, not profession. You had to get up and give a testimony of your experience of being born again before they'd take you into this church. We started making it professions. And so it might ought to go back to giving them, having a testimony of experience before we take them into the church. But they'll walk an aisle when a preacher preaches on hell or judgment. They make a profession, they join the church, they get baptized, they come to church, they tithe, they even live right. But folks, they've never been born again. Now, let me emphasize the words of Jesus in John 3:3. Now, Jesus said, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This dear young lady used to come to our church. Some of you know her. I won't mention her name. She'd come every now and then she'd come, and I'd say, why are you coming? She'd say, I don't know that I'm saved. And I'd go through, and other people would go through. But you know, she came till I got almost tired of coming. And listen, come every time you want to this altar. Every time the Holy Spirit, you say, preacher, how often do you come? I come to the altar every time the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And when he don't, I don't come. But she'd kept coming to the altar and kept coming and every now and then. But you know what? Finally, somewhere along the line, she felt she was saved. And she's become a fine Christian lady. Her husband is now a preacher. And she's got a son that's a youth director in an area church. So you need to know that you know that you know that you're born again. You're saved. Now listen, I can stop right there. That's, I believe, you say, preacher, what is the greatest problem in the churches today? I believe we're not getting many born again. Born again. And let me just skip all this. Here's what they do. They walk an aisle when a preacher preaches on hell or judgment. They make a profession. They join the church. They get baptized. They maybe even start tithing. Maybe they even live right. But they've never been born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, salvation reaches more than the head. It must go down 6 inches below the collarbone, into the heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. When a person joins a church without the new birth, now they may endure a while. But Jesus tells us they'll eventually fall by the wayside. They'll drop out. 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. And let me say this, be quick to tell you this. A born-again believer is going to have hard times. We all are. Trouble will come. But you know what? A born-again believer is going to make it. They'll make it. The indwelling Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad for the indwelling Holy Spirit? The indwelling Holy Spirit. He'll guide a born-again child of God through the troubles. I don't want to get off on too many rabbit tracks here today, but I'm glad for every trouble I've ever had at Flow Ridge Baptist Church. Every sickness, had both knees replaced, prostate cancer treatments, and they said I was going to have to have a heart transplant and all like that. Bypass surgery. But you know, every time trouble has come to this preacher, you know, God knew that I needed it. And it caused me to look up to Him. Now that, in a big crowd like this, there's a lot of people. A lot of people having heartaches and trouble, probably most of you. And, you know, listen, just say, Lord, thank you for that trouble. Thank you, Lord, for that trouble. Right now, just tell Him in your heart, thank you, Lord. And if you'll thank Him, say, Lord, you just be with me and go with me. That's all you need anyway. You don't need healing or money. You just need the Lord to be with you. And if you're born again, if you look to the Lord, you're going to make it. Let me say, Brother Jim, where are you? Brother White, where are you back here? Right in the middle. Yeah, I see you now. But I'll tell you, Brother White, God bless you. We love you. And you and the family, just keep looking to the Lord. You're going to make it. It's not going to be easy, but just look to Him. He's promised, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You believe that, don't you, Brother White? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, thirdly, in the parable of the sower, we see that some fell among thorns. And, I'm getting off my sermon here. Let me make sure I'm on the right church, wrong pew maybe here. But some fell in verse 7. If I read that, I haven't. Some fell among thorns, and when the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then we see in verse 22, Jesus explained this a little bit further. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, here in verse 22, look at that. Here in verse 22, he says, the care of the world. And the deceitfulness of riches, those things when can choke out the word of God. And the lust of other things. Luke 8 says, adds a pleasure of this life. Now, this third soil represents most church members. Now, we don't know, scholars differ, and I'm not a Bible scholar, I believe it and preach it, and I agree with this. We don't know where the people in this soil are saved or not. Bible scholars differ on this. They may be saved, but here's the thing. You can be saved, and the things of the world have a hold of you, and you know you never amount to much for God. A lot of people in that category. Worldliness will choke a Christian's life until God cannot possibly bless them or use them. And that's why for all these years I've preached a separated life. For a child of God, I believe a Christian ought to act like a Christian. Anything wrong with a Christian acting like a Christian? I don't see anything wrong with that, do you? And I believe a Christian ought to even smell like a Christian. He ought to look like a Christian and dress like a Christian. And by the way, put some clothes on too. I know it's shedding season, but you ought to dress like a Christian. That's a short subject, so I won't get on that subject here. And I believe you ought to cut your hair like a Christian. And stay out of the hell holes of the world. And we need to shun the worldliness like I would a rattlesnake. And by the way, let me say this too while I'm at it. I said it last Friday night. I believe that a praying knee and a dancing foot doesn't go on the same leg. I'll move on. Enough said. You're getting me off on a tangent there, though, if I get off on it. I believe I might as well, I'm off anyway. I might as well just join you. Hey, you say, can you dance and be a Christian? Yeah, but you're out of place to get on the dance floor, born again child of God. A man a mile back, I don't know what it was, showed me a copperhead in a minnow trap he had set in the back of his truck over in Bluntville. And brother, I didn't get too close. I'm like Brother Mays Jackson. He said, I'm afraid of four kinds of snakes, big ones and little ones and dead ones and alive ones. And when he showed me that copperhead in that minnow, I didn't want to get too close to that thing. But you know, that's the same way a Christian needs to act about the world. He needs to avoid the world. We need to shun it. But folks, here's the thing. Now you can say, preacher, lastly, I don't like that kind of preaching. But you know, this kind of preaching will make you have power with God. You cannot have the power of God. You can be saved now, but you can't have the power of God on your life and be a worldly, carnal Christian. Now, I'm sorry to tell you. You say, preacher, oh, I want the power of God. And I want His will and way in my life. And I want His blessing. Come out of the world. It's that there's no shortcut to success. Come out of the world. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, merciful, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's wrong, preacher? That which doesn't please God. Well, I better get off this. Let me move on here. But notice there's, Jesus said, but, and I'm jumping ahead. Let me give you the fourth seed right quick. Let me see how much time. Oh, I got plenty of time. It's not supper time yet. I'm coming in for a landing, so just don't leave me yet. Because I want to finish this here. Now, I blame Brother Jody for waiting so late to call me. So if I get a little long, it's his fault. Don't blame me. But some fell on good ground. Look at verse 8. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Look at verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold. Some 60, and some 30. Now that little conjunction, but, in verse 8 and 23, it's so, so, so important. It makes all the difference in the world. The first three groups present a dark picture. They weren't prepared to receive the word of God. They had no desire for the good seed. They allowed trouble and trials and things of the world to choke out. These things will choke the word of God out of our lives. But, what a difference that three little word makes. Jesus said, but those in this fourth group. Now just, you want to be a fourth group, a good soul Christian. Listen to this. Jesus said, those in the fourth group hear the gospel. They open their hearts and receive Christ. They come out of darkness into light. They're faithful to Jesus. They mean business for Him. I like to get around somebody that means business for the Lord. Amen. I mean business for the Lord. And some are hundredfold. Now, there you can be a fruitful Christian, a different type. There's a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, all Christians don't have the same gifts. Some have greater talents than others. But I'm glad that He doesn't require us to be talented, but both he requires us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I've rushed through this, but now just hang with me for just a few more minutes. Now, we're going into overtime. That's the most exciting time of a football game, when you have to go into overtime. So now I've got a few four quick things on it. You'll see, the longer I preach, the more you'll eat, you know. So, I want to give you four quick lessons we can learn from the parable of the sower. All seed is good seed. All seed is good. The old King James Version is good seed. I think the others are corruptible seed. But the gospel seed is good seed. Amen. Now, let me quickly go to these other three here now. And then we learn. Now, this is a lesson that we need to learn from the parable of the sower. Only a small number are going to be saved. Only a small number are going to be saved. Most of the seed sown in this parable brought forth no fruit. The first two groups were not saved. That third group of soil there, that they, the third may, some of them may be saved. You know, it's hard to tell the difference in a carnal Christian and an unsaved person a lot of times. I mean, they act about the same, dress about the same. And only God knows who's saved. You know, Hyman Appleton, I remember Hyman Appleton, great Southern Baptist evangelist, great man of God. Now, I don't know where he's right or wrong. I don't know. He said 90% of the Southern Baptists are going to hell. Now, I don't know if that's right or not. Everybody's born again is going to heaven. Amen. That's all I know. And broad is the way that leads. There's many there be which go in thereat. Old Brother Willard Tom, God bless his heart. I'm tempted to hold a little longer. But I was praying when we were, they threatened my life when we built it. When we moved up here, again, I had all kind of trouble in that second building program. And Willard Tallman heard that we were going to build this auditorium. He said, they almost got you the first time. They almost got you the second time. They'll get you this time. And I prayed for this this auditorium, everything that went in here. Now, let me get back to where I was. And didn't have any trouble. Willard Tallman said, they're going to get you this time. And I prayed every morning. I'd get up here and get between two bushes out there. And I prayed so much, there was a hole in the ground. You know, prayer does work, folks. Amen. Prayer works. You've tried everything. Why don't you try prayer? Now, I'm not charging you more for going past 12. Now, I know I'm past 12. But I'll let you out shortly. Let me get back on where I was here now. But this thing is, there are not many saved people around because there are very few people that are sold out lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus Christ. Now you don't know many that are 110% for Jesus. You don't know that. Broad is the way, and many there be which go in. Then third, we see in this parable, some will be saved. I'm glad of that, aren't you? And let's just teach faithfully and preach and witness and tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And every now and then, you'll find somebody that's hungry for Jesus and for the Word of God. And years ago, I come up here for a prayer meeting on Saturday morning, early a little bit, and there's a man waiting on me outside there. And he had read one of our gospel tracts, and he said, Preacher Lashley, a grown man, he said, I read that tract and I want to get saved. But I brought him in here, and we prayed over, and he got saved. And when all the men came for prayer, and he testified. Any of you men here that Saturday morning, I don't remember where you knew. It's been a number of years ago. But that man has gone on with the Lord, still living for Jesus Christ. Amen. I like that good soul Christian. But let me move on to the fourth thing I was going to give you, to climax this. I'm circling in the runway. That's right. I'm circling now. I'm coming in for a landing. This fourth lesson is so important. All folks, if you don't get this, you're going to miss it. All real salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Plus nothing or minus nothing. All of our teaching and preaching and witnessing is vain unless the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner, open their eyes to receive the good seed of the gospel. All we can do is sow the seed. And the sweet Holy Spirit must convict the sinner and call him and woo him to Jesus. As Jonah said in the belly of the whale, when he looked up, he said, salvation is of the Lord. And the whale got sick in his stomach and vomited him right out of there. And he, from then, the rest of his days knew. And I'm glad that when I was a 13-year-old boy, I went with a Boy Scout outfit on night I got saved. I'm not going to get on that. That's sad what they're trying to do to the Boy Scouts. I don't have time for that. But I went with the Boy Scout troop. I didn't go there to get saved. I went with my Boy Scout troop. But I'm glad for that night the Holy Spirit showed up in that revival down in Soddy, Tennessee. And I went forward, and nailed at that, and I've told you this many times, but I don't care where you like it, I enjoy telling about it. And I knelt at the mourner's bench on that side, and old deacon put his arm around me and said, "Gene, will you trust Christ?" And I said, "Yes." And you know, I walked in spiritual darkness that night, and I didn't understand all about it. Still don't understand all about it. You don't either. But it's just, you don't have to. Just trust the Lord. I said yes to him, and I walked out in the light. Went home, and Mama told Daddy about it. Then I went and laid down on the bed and looked out at the big, beautiful moon. And I thought, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Jesus would come back tonight? I'm glad that night. You know, I didn't go to church to get saved. But I'm glad the Holy Spirit was there. And that on the other side of the mourner's bench, town drunk was saved, shouted all over the church that night. We both became Baptist preachers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And now let me ask you this. Brother Jody, he goes this long sometimes. I've sat here just like you're sitting here. But what kind of soil are you this morning? Have you received the good seed of the gospel? Or have you refused the good seed? If you have refused, don't say no to Jesus. I'm glad I said yes to Christ that night from my heart. And he saved me. And he's with me, been with me down through the years. If you want a productive, fruitful, satisfying life, receive Jesus. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning, receive Jesus. If he's speaking to you, into your heart, and he'll make the difference. I urge you as a preacher, who's been preaching for 60 years, try Jesus. Nobody's ever really tried it and got born again that's ever regretted it. You won't either. And maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I want to be a good soul. I'm saved, but I want God to use me." Maybe you need to come and pray this morning and ask the Lord to fill you with his spirit, that you want to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many this morning said, "Preacher, I'm glad I can say that I am saved. I've trusted Jesus. I'm not maybe what it should be, but I am saved. I've trusted him in my heart as my Savior." If you can say that, just lift your hand up right now. Yes, God bless you. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. This could be the greatest day of your life. If you just open your heart, let Jesus. Hey, you've tried everything else. Why don't you try Jesus this morning? Why don't you try him? I'll guarantee you, if you'll try him, you'll never regret it. Are there those who say, "Preacher, if I were to die right now, I'm going to have the assurance I'm saved. But I don't want to miss heaven. I want to be saved. Pray for me." Is anyone like that? All over the house, just raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Just hold it up for just a second. Hold it up. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else in the balcony, down the floor? Anyone else say, "Preacher, I want to get born again. I don't want to be just a church member. I want to get born again." Anyone else? Raise your hand. Now with the heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe somebody said, "Preacher, I want to be a fruitful Christian. And I want the Lord, I want to be a separated Christian. I want to be on fire for God, full of the Spirit. And I want to really mean business for God. God, to use me the rest of my days on this earth. It'll be all over for a while, folks. Let the Lord use you." Say, "Preacher, pray for me. I want to be used of God." Just slip your hand. Slip your hand up right now. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want God to use me. I want to fill me with the Spirit. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity. Lord, I didn't plan to preach this morning, but Lord, I did the best I could to tell them about Jesus. His power to help us as we go down through life. And Lord, just I pray for the hand or two that went up for said they want to be saved. Lord, help them to come to Jesus down this aisle and just take a stand for Christ. Lord, we know if they'll just come, they'll today to Jesus. They walk out of here, child of God, on the way to heaven. Lord, all of these hands went up for prayer that they want to be a spiritual Christian and a fruitful Christian. Lord, we know it comes to the place of entire dedication of themselves to the Lord. May somebody, Lord, come today. Say, "I want to be totally, totally. totally yielded and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, draw people to this altar. I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it. But Lord, I ask you to do it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What are we going to sing?
270, just as I am.
270, just as I am without one plea. Just stand, please. Now, listen. If the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, if you raised your hand, just come on, we'll pray with you and help you today. Come on right now. If you need a Christian, you want to be fruitful, you want to be dedicated, come on, surrender to him. Listen, the Lord never used me till I come. I was playing football down in Mississippi. I was fighting the call to preach. I didn't think I could ever do it. He didn't use me till I got on my knees and said, Lord, if I make the biggest flop, you might not think that I have to preach this morning, 60 years later. But I've done it, tried with his help. He started using me a little bit when I surrendered to him. Just come on and surrender. Look back here, big lady. Raise your hand. What church you say? Come on, ma'am. You need to come this morning. You want God's power in your life. You want to be a dedicated. If the Lord's speaking to you now, if the Lord's speaking to you, best to speak up if he's speaking to you. Come on right now.
Just as I am and without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Satisfied in your Christian life. Won't you come on? Get on your knees for God. Rededicate your life to the Lord. Ask him to fill you in the Spirit. He'll do it. He'll do it. If you need to be saved and raised for prayer, come on to Jesus right now. Brother Gary, you sing that last verse there. No one comes, we'll be through.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome.
Let's sing another verse. Maybe there's some others in need. Just turn everything over to the Lord. Let him have his, come out and be out and out for Christ. Come to the point of decision. It's all Jesus. Now, if you want to do that, come on. Sing one more
just
verse.
As I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find.
all to Jesus.
It's in there somewhere.
Yes, 308.
Oh, we're getting close to landing. We're almost there. Just about. Come on, if God speaks to you, come on. I'm glad we waited on you. Please, go ahead.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Family with this special need. And then again tonight, Brother Abilene will be with us, and a special offering tonight after the service for Pastor and Becky, help with the costs about having the baby and all those things. Okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Word of God that's been preached and taught. Continue to work in hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you, folks.